Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have updates on coronavirus, including layoffs in Glacier County, 5 men from Bozeman who are stuck in a Dubai airport due to closures, and quarantine couch concerts. It's Thursday, March 26th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl.
With Montana News, I'm Corin Cates-Carney. Again, social distancing and recording in my bedroom closet.
And in my bedroom closet, I'm Nikki Willette. As of 7 p.m. Wednesday night, there are 65 identified COVID-19 cases in Montana. And for the first time, the state health department is reporting that someone has been hospitalized or the test was performed after they were admitted to the hospital.
More than a third of the positive tests have come from Gallatin County. Just shy of 2,200 tests have been run in the state lab so far.
Corin, what's new today?
It's looking more likely that we'll see some changes in Montana's June 2nd primary because of the spread of COVID-19. Bullock announced in a directive yesterday he's allowing counties to run the June 2nd primary elections by all mail-in ballot.
Are all counties going to do this?
We're not sure yet. This is an opt-in change, so counties will have to let the Secretary of State know if they're planning on going all mail ballot. And this also allows counties more flexibility to allow early voting. Even if counties do or don't want this, there are some things they'll all need to do.
Like what?
Bullock's directive is asking for social distancing policies at polling places or at ballot drop-off locations. So this means keeping people, voters, and poll workers 6 feet apart, which I learned today is roughly the same length of 2 shovel-nosed sturgeons or 1 paddlefish. Thanks to Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks for that info. Bullock's directive follows guidance from the Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, which encourages mail-in ballots or a larger window for people to cast ballots in order to avoid crowds.
Is this going to change the timeline for Montana's June 2nd primary?
The primary is still scheduled for June 2nd. If Montana counties opt in, mail ballots will be released May 8th, and early voting would be available in person through the close of the primary election. And again, that's on June 2nd. But zooming out, Nikki, what's going on nationally? As we're recording this Wednesday night, the U.S. Senate is still debating their massive relief package. There's $2 trillion in there. Both of Montana's U.S. Senators, U.S. Senator Steve Daines and U.S. Senator John Tester, both sit on the Senate Appropriations Committee. Nikki, what are Montanans going to see out of this?
Both Daines and Tester held press calls yesterday. Daines said that there's $1.25 billion for Montana in this bill. 45% of that is supposed to go to local governments. Both Daines and Tester say there's billions of dollars for small businesses in here. They're in the form of forgivable loans. So if these small businesses maintain payroll through the pandemic, they won't need to pay it back. There's an earmark in there for people working in the gig economy or independent contractors. It's very clear that Tester and Daines have been hearing from local officials. They're hearing that rural counties are hurting, gateway communities that rely on the service industry and tourism, the Veterans Administration, tribal officials, hospitals. And here's what Tester had to say about kind of the purpose of this bill.
The goal of this bill is to be able to keep small businesses afloat till this problem passes, and make sure that after this problem passes, that the employees that they had will still be around, that they won't have to move somewhere else to get a job or potentially move out of an area. So that's the overall goal, and I think it does it pretty darn well.
Just a few more earmarks in here. There's $155 billion going to hospitals that are actually hurting financially because they're not doing elective procedures, which are the big money makers for them. There's $8 billion set aside for tribes. And this big $2 trillion package is the one that carries those $1,200 checks. Tester says he wishes they were more targeted. As it's written, every person who makes less than $75,000 a year will receive a $1,200 check and another $500 for their kid. It's a one-time payment that comes out as soon as they get this thing off the ground.
And we've heard in press calls and public statements from both Tester and Daines, they're saying they're standing up for Montanans in this. But are there things in this bill that they don't like?
Yeah, this all is added to the national debt, and neither of them really liked that. Tester also had voted against a previous version of this bill. He said it didn't have enough oversight for how taxpayer money loaned out to private companies would be divvied up. The newer version of this bill that senators were debating last night. There were caps in place on that, like a special inspector general in the Treasury Department for pandemic recovery. There's going to be a committee to oversee loans sent out to businesses. And the president, vice president, Congress members, other high-level administrative officials, they won't be able to receive those COVID recovery loans.
What about on Daines' side?
He was pretty rosy about the whole bill. He has been advocating hard to get this thing passed. And he said, you know, the economic crisis that we're in right now doesn't end until the pandemic ends. He's been listening to health experts in the administration and talked about what they're saying.
They're worried about a second wave of this pandemic hitting us in the fall because we don't have immunity developed to stop it. The way we get immunity is through these amazing vaccines and these drugs. We're moving as fast as we can.
We got off the press call with Senator Daines and Tester in the middle of the afternoon. They both thought that this was going to pass very quickly, but then it got really held up over unemployment earmarks. Daines says there was $250 billion earmarked for unemployment that would add another $600 per week to current checks in Montana. Corin, what are we hearing about unemployment in Montana at the moment?
It's been just over a week since Montana officials started expanding benefits to include more people impacted by the novel coronavirus. And over that time frame, there's been 17,000 people in Montana who have filed a claim for unemployment. That averages out in this 8-day window to about 2,100 people a day filing for unemployment.
Yow. How is the state even keeping up with those numbers?
The state says this is an unprecedented number of claims, and this is putting a lot of stress on the state's unemployment system. I talked to an employer last week. He was saying he was sitting down with his employees. His employees didn't have a computer, so they were coming into his office, and he was trying to help them get signed up, and they were having a really hard time with that, getting kicked off the system. The state labor department, I talked to them, and they said they were doing maintenance over the weekend to get the website running a little bit better, montanaworks.gov. But they say there's still a lot of stress on the system.
Oof, and it's only been a week and a half since the first positive test of COVID-19 came out in Montana.
This is changing incredibly fast, and the headlines are changing fast. People's daily lives are changing incredibly fast, and it's hard to describe it.
Montana is reporting 65 cases of the COVID-19 illness, with more than a third coming out of Gallatin County. We'll be back tomorrow with more updates. Thanks, Corin.
Thank you, Nikki.
Montana counties now have the option of running all mail ballot elections for the June 2nd primary. Governor Steve Bullock issued the directive to counties yesterday, allowing all voting by mail and early voting amid growing case numbers of the novel coronavirus in Montana and the nation. The Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention sent out guidance earlier this month encouraging mail-in methods of voting and early voting. Bullock's directive says he received unanimous support for the options from county representatives and Republican and Democratic Party leaders, including the Speaker of the House and the President of the Senate. The directive says the Secretary of State has, appropriately, not taken a position on the issue. Counties must opt in to expand early voting and run the June 2nd primary by mail-in ballots. All counties are directed to minimize the need for in-person registration and create policies that keep voters and poll workers 6 feet apart to encourage social distancing. Glacier County will temporarily lay off half of its workforce for 30 days in order to keep the county's books balanced. The layoffs began yesterday, and Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports the county, with long-standing financial troubles, decided to lay off workers now because it was already reducing staff due to the coronavirus outbreak.
County Commission Chair Michael DeRozier says the county had planned to begin furloughing roughly half of its 106 workers April 1st. But since the county was already reducing staff in the clerk and treasury offices due to reduced hours of operation during the coronavirus outbreak, he says they bumped up that date.
We thought it was the best time to do our layoffs rather than wait another week.
DeRozier says relaxed unemployment and health insurance requirements will allow county employees to maintain benefits. Many of the layoffs will come from the county sheriff and roads departments, where staff will rotate through two-week furloughs, though DeRozier says they may reduce the number of law enforcement officers included in its plan to maintain public safety. The move comes after the county agreed to drop a lawsuit against the Indian Health Service, claiming the federal agency owed the county nearly $2 million in back pay for years of emergency medical transports. DeRozier says the negotiations have since broken down, and the county plans to refile its lawsuit. IHS could not be reached for comment by deadline. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
More than 17,000 new claims for unemployment benefits have been filed in Montana since new regulations took effect last week that expand eligibility to workers impacted by the novel coronavirus pandemic. An average of 2,100 people a day in the state filed for unemployment from March 17th through March 24th. Governor Steve Bullock's administration announced last Tuesday that workers sent home due to pandemic concerns or workers caring for a family member impacted by COVID-19 are now eligible for the benefits. The benefit expansion does not cover workers afraid of gathering in a group or refusing to go to work. The Montana Department of Labor reports its unemployment registration system is seeing a high load of users and may be slow, unresponsive, or down. Montana's tribal nations say their first responders and medical professionals are short on equipment needed to protect healthcare workers from the coronavirus. Kayla DeRoche reports.
Tribal governments in Montana join others nationwide in saying they face a shortage of supplies. Crow Tribe of Indians Incident Command spokesperson Jack Oldhorn says the Crow Tribe in southeast Montana lacks a number of items, including gloves and masks.
Everything. Any supply that you can think of.
He says a local nonprofit is ordering some of those supplies on behalf of Crow Incident Command.
Every supplier that they've contacted, they have none.
Other tribes in Montana say their tribe's law enforcement and medical professionals are short on masks, including the Fort Belknap Indian community in north central Montana and the Fort Peck, Assiniboine, and Sioux tribes in northeast Montana. Many other tribes have put protective measures in place, including the Chippewa Cree Tribe of Rocky Boys Indian Reservation, which posted on its Facebook page that it implemented checkpoints Tuesday at reservation entrances. The tribe is asking non-tribal members not to enter. Tribes say they're also waiting on federal dollars. Montana's congressmen have encouraged the federal government to direct additional funds to tribes for COVID-19 response and preparation. Last week, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services announced it would distribute $80 million to tribal organizations for resource support. According to the HHS website, that's on top of $64 million in funds for testing earmarked for the Indian Health Service through the Families First Coronavirus Response Act. Kayla DeRoche, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
The Senate approved a $2 trillion stimulus package late last night that includes an $8 billion tribal government relief fund. Both of Montana's U.S. senators voted in favor of the third federal relief package that they say is aimed at supporting rural communities and small businesses hurting amid the coronavirus pandemic. Republican Steve Daines said on a press call yesterday afternoon, the bill earmarks funding for hospitals, outlines billions in grants for small businesses that keep payroll going, and secures funding for local governments.
There's also a significant chunk of dollars going to our state, $1.25 billion, just a general grant to our states. And of that, 45% must go to local communities.
Daines says the bill also holds funding for personal protective equipment like masks and $8 billion for Native American tribes. Democratic Senator John Tester joined Senate Democrats earlier this week in voting against a previous version of the bill. Tester says the latest version isn't perfect, but it increases oversight for taxpayer money loaned out to private companies, a measure Democrats pushed for in last-minute negotiations.
If the bill comes out as the way we've pushed for it, is there should be this money should be in a loan form that is due to be paid back to the federal government.
Tester says the relief package adds $2 trillion to the federal deficit, but Tester adds it will provide critical relief for Montanans by increasing unemployment maximums by $600 per week for up to 4 months. Daines says checks of $1,200 for every adult making less than $75,000 are expected to be sent within a month if the bill is signed into law. The package still needs approval from the U.S. House. Montana's lone congressman, Republican Greg Gianforte, says the Senate's bill is a step in the right direction. Five men from Bozeman are among 300 people stuck at the Dubai International Airport after all flights were canceled indefinitely. The group of friends has spent a week and a half trying to return to the U.S. from a spring break trip to the Philippines. Rachel Kramer reports they and their families say they had zero luck using the U.S. State Department's recommended services for travelers in emergency situations.
Drake Phillips says he and the other travelers are waiting in a terminal with just scraps of information.
They just keep saying that we're waiting to hear from people, waiting to hear from people, but we don't know what we're waiting to hear. So we don't know if we're waiting to hear that they're giving us visas. We don't know if they're waiting to hear that there's a flight. We don't know if we're waiting to hear that we have to book hotel rooms.
Phillips says they were told they might be quarantined in the airport for 2 weeks. At noon Wednesday, Phillips sent YPR a WhatsApp message saying they had just found out a military chartered flight for American citizens was not going to accept passengers from the Dubai airport because they had not yet been tested for COVID-19.
We're just continuing to be at the mercy of governments and agencies that are not doing anything to help us, it seems.
The hard stop in Dubai follows more than a week of trying to leave the Philippines where the group had been vacationing. Phillips says on March 15th, they found out from their Airbnb host in the Philippines, not the U.S. government, that the country was going into a lockdown. They caught the last ferry leaving the island where they had been staying and drove 4 or 5 hours to the city of Cebu. From there, Phillips says they spent 8 days in a hotel trying to get flights back to the U.S.
By the time it's all said and done, we have booked and had canceled up to, I think, 10 to 12 flights over the course of all of this.
Now, after what was supposed to be a layover in Dubai, he says it's unclear how long they'll remain there. He says people have been scrounging for cardboard and styrofoam to sleep on, and all the shops and eateries have shut down.
They did just bring in our first hot meal. We've been here for about 14, 15 hours.
He doesn't know when or if another hot meal will come. Phillips says throughout this whole ordeal, they haven't received any helpful information from the airlines, U.S. Embassy, or State Department Smart Traveler Enrollment Program, which they had signed up for to get updates about safety and traveling. Mike Phillips is Drake's dad.
During that entire time, the State Department was a no-show.
Phillips is a state senator and conservation scientist in Bozeman. Tuesday afternoon, he called Senators John Tester and Steve Daines, Congressman Greg Gianforte, and Governor Steve Bullock. Several Montana families have done the same for their loved ones on the Norwegian Jewel cruise ship, Morocco, Peru, and elsewhere. Bullock issued an advisory March 19th that Montanans traveling internationally should self-quarantine for 14 days. Phillips says he's grateful to Montana's leaders for acting quickly and using their authority to lean on the State Department.
And we understand now that the State Department, through the embassy in Dubai, is building a variety of ways, several approaches for getting the boys moving, either if not to the United States, at least to a European airport that is still servicing international flights.
Drake Phillips says he and his friends recognize that being American and having family connections, as well as the financial means to help pay for last-minute flights, has put them in a better situation than a lot of the travelers they've met.
There's a large prayer going on now in the Dubai airport, so I can't really talk anymore, but that's just something that I kind of wanted to make known as well, is that privilege has played a huge role in our situation, and it could have been a lot worse had we not been in the state that we were.
With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
Bars and music venues across the country have shuttered their doors to slow the spread of the novel coronavirus. But many musicians are still finding ways to perform during the pandemic through live stream shows being called COVID couch concerts. Montana Public Radio's Maxine Spire reports.
With gigs and tours postponed or canceled, performers all over the country have turned to impromptu live shows on the internet.
Hello. Hello, internet.
Hey, yo.
All right, how you doing, Montana? That was a great idea.
Brendan DeKeevitt decided to start a Facebook page where artists from Montana and beyond could schedule and perform live streaming sets. He wanted one place that could act sort of like a stage, a kind of internet venue.
wanted to give performers an outlet still. Everybody's kind of stir crazy. So despite the fact that they're not able to go out and make money and perform live, they can still gain fans and stay relevant. So,
on the Couch Concerts page, musicians jam out from their bedrooms, living rooms, and kitchens. Dekivit says making all the shows live helps keep some of the vulnerability and raw feeling of being at a concert. Lee Calvin in Red Lodge was one of the first to perform on the Facebook page after his band, Calvin and the Coal Cars, had to postpone their album release show indefinitely.
Hey everybody, we are the band Calvin and the Coal Cars coming to you live through Montana Music Media and their new Facebook page, Montana COVID? COVID. Montana COVID Couch Concerts.
Here's Calvin.
I actually got really nervous before we did it, which I don't tend to get nervous before shows anymore. And then the response was really fun. We didn't know what to expect, but we had over the course of those two shows, several hundred people tune in and listen to us. And on top of that, we had several donations and sold a few albums as well.
Calvin says he's lost about 50% of his income from canceled gigs, and that's something online donations can't make up for. But as everyone in the music industry, from venue owners to stage techs to tour bus drivers, takes a financial hit, Calvin is looking on the bright side.
The silver lining in this whole thing is that we do have all of these weekend nights that are all of a sudden available and nothing else to do. I think we're going to see a big spur of maybe unplanned albums coming out over the next few months, and let's utilize that time to do what we're supposed to be doing, and that's creating music.
That was Calvin and the Coal Cars. We also played snippets from the live sets from Hardwood Heart, Tony Horton, and Buddy Duke. I'm Maxine Spier, Montana Public Radio.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.